Royal Wedding, it is here. It's coming this Saturday. It's going to be on every TV channel. Like always, that was the same case for his brother that got married, William. That was the same case for the funeral as well, way back when Princess Diana passed away. Right, it's all happening this Saturday. Maybe later on I'll talk about the fact that Meghan Markle once dated a porn star. I'm not joking. I'm not making that up. Went on a date anyway with a porn star. Apparently he had garlic breath. Went for a pash at the end and she's like, I'm going to get up early and backed away. And that's that. Meghan Markle's old man has been up to a little bit of, I'm not going to say dodgy, I'm going to say a little bit of smart business. Wait till you hear this. UK correspondent for Channel 9 and does some work for Triple M as well, Seb Costello.
It is all the talking point at the moment, Thomas Markle. And we talked about him last week, Meghan's dad, and he usually lives a pretty humble, retired sort of life down in Mexico. He's 73, and he really didn't want to get dragged into the whole situation when his daughter became engaged to the world's most eligible bachelor. Well, you might remember I said that he was the one to watch, and now it's obvious Thomas Markle might actually be playing this whole situation the best of anyone. In fact, Thomas Markle is so savvy that it's been found out he's done a deal to charge the paparazzi to get photos of him. So all the pictures we've seen, the photos of him getting McDonald's, the photos of him getting measured for a suit, there were those pictures of him Googling his own daughter in an internet cafe. Well, CCTV from the internet cafe shows him and the photographer setting the whole thing up. So while some people, particularly here in the higher aristocratic parts of London, were sort of sniggering at photos of Thomas Markle Googling his own daughter Meghan, our man Thomas was laughing all the way to the bank. The tabloids here are just as competitive as some of our AFL footy teams back home. And the ones who haven't got photos are going ballistic, calling Thomas Markle a scammer and, you know, having all sorts of things to say about him, mainly because they missed out on the shot. Buckingham Palace, they're playing a very straight bat on this one. The whole time they've been saying, we have nothing to do with the Markles. They're their own enterprise. Thomas Markle isn't the only one who's getting a lovely slice of all the excitement here. I wanted to tell you about one of the pub owners up in Windsor who is working absolutely beautifully. So for those who don't know Windsor, where this wedding is actually taking place, it's about an hour's drive from London. It's a city, a village of around 30,000 people that is based completely around the castle. Prince Harry went to Eton there. He passed one class, so I'm told, which was art. And a royal watcher suggested that the teacher had the artwork that got him to pass. But then he joined the army and he straightened himself up. So he's changed since those days. But just behind this castle, there's been a pub that's been trading there for around 400 years. For most of that time, it's been called the Three Tuns, T-U-N-S, meaning cask of beer, keg of beer. Well, the pub owners have realised that tourists, in particular American tourists, are just flooding the town at the moment with royal fever and with pounds to spend. So 4 days ago, they took down the gold letters that spelled out the Three Tuns at the top of the pub, and they've officially renamed it the Prince Harry. So we did a story up there for Nine News, which I think will run tonight in Melbourne. And I can tell you, we were there for an hour or two, and everyone is stopping to have a selfie of them having lunch inside the Prince Harry. So a very savvy move from the pub owner.
That is very, very savvy, and he will be laughing all the way to the bank. He's changed the name of the pub just for the wedding. Very, very good by him. Windsor, beautiful part of the world. I used to live and work in Windsor back in the day. What year was that? 2008. So that is 10 years ago. It is absolutely gorgeous. Worked in a gym, in a health club there. I'm pretty sure he won't be listening right now, for a very, very scary man. There was a lot of dodgy, maybe, business that went on in that gym. And, I just shut my mouth and got on and did my job. But it is absolutely gorgeous. I'd highly, highly recommend checking out Windsor. That castle is amazing. Royal wedding. Tell me this, 13/27/10. Are you into it? Are you over it? Maybe it's like, you know what, if you can't, what do they say, if you can't beat them, join them. It's going to be absolutely everywhere, all over the TVs, all over the papers. Shawnee's going to be talking about it as well. I want to know if you're into it or not. Give us a call on 13/27/10.
Triple M.
Just before 7 o'clock, I threw it to you guys. We're talking about the royal wedding. And I was taking your calls on 13/27/10, as I always do. Regular caller of the show, Johnny from Kyabram. What are your thoughts, mate? Talk about going off topic. Have a listen to this. Nothing to do. This happened while the song was playing. Johnny from Kai, mate, what are your thoughts on the royal wedding?
The natural enemy to the radio announcer is, don't you? The sore throat.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, go.
Right. The reason I'm ringing you, mate, get yourself a packet of Alka-Seltzer.
Why?
Yep, serious. And if you're at home or whatever, just have a packet wherever you've got to have them, at home or at the work. And if you feel a sore throat coming on, don't wait for a couple of hours. Or if you feel a cold or something coming on, buy yourself a packet at the supermarket, read the packet before you buy it. If you're not better in about an hour, take another one. And if that doesn't fix you, it's probably not going to fix you. But I'm not having you on, mate. They are bloody brilliant.
Alka-Seltzer. Yeah, my old man swears by it, but I didn't think it was a preventative. I thought it was more a cure. But what? You're saying if I'm a little bit husky in the mornings and the throat's coming on, I can take that and it might knock it out for a couple of hours? Or
No. What it'll do, it'll fix you in about an hour and you'll be right. And
right,
if one doesn't fix you, take another one about an hour after. If that doesn't fix you, then you've got a problem. But it'll fix you.
Alka-Seltzer.
Yep.
Are you into the royal wedding at all? Do you follow it?
Nah. That's Britain's tourism, mate.
Tourism.
Yeah, that's the royal family is the tourist attraction in Britain. That's all they are.
So you're not going to be watching it?
Oh, I'll probably have to because the missus will want
it. Ah, there you go. That's like me. I won't have a choice. We've only got one TV at the moment, and I think, we'll be watching it, unless I'm not into it and I sneak down to the pub for happy hour. But, yeah, I reckon I'll be the same as you, mate.
Get yourself a packet of Alka-Seltzer, mate.
Yeah, rightio, will do. Got to go,
mate.
Thanks for the call. Johnny, mate, we tried to talk about the actual topic, the royal wedding, and he finishes off with his Alka-Seltzer. Oh, man, talk about being passionate about something. Johnny boy, John from Kyabram, always appreciate your calls. And always consult your doctor. I better say that just to be safe. Don't always consult your doctor in terms of all that sort of stuff. Alka-Seltzer. Johnny boy from Kai. Starts with the old Alka-Seltzer. Royal wedding, mate. What are your thoughts? Get yourself a packet of Alka-Seltzer. The Golden Valley is 95.3 Triple M. It's Brekkie with Shawnee for the Shepherd and RSL, the Bare Naked Ladies, 1 week. And I would love to tie that in nicely and say it's 1 week since I spoke to Cam Luke, but it's not. It's 2 weeks because I gave him the week off last week. G'day, Cam, the sports guru.
Sure, mate. Hey, I appreciate that. I've been quite sick, mate. When you lose your voice when you work in media, it's a rough gig. So thank you for giving me the week off, buddy, and I appreciate it.
I do know that you work late on a Sunday night, so I really do, and I mean this, no sarcasm, I really do appreciate your time on a Monday morning, mate. Let's get straight into this. AFL, before I ask you who the main challenger is, say, for the Tigers this year, because it's pretty obvious that they're going to go right down. I reckon they'll make the granny. Umpires, touching the umpires, mate. There's been two cases over the weekend. There was one there last week with Tom Hawkins. Are we overreacting? Is it a good thing? What's your thoughts?
Look, I think, not overreacting, I actually think that Stephen May, who is co-captain of the Gold Coast and has been referred straight to the tribunal, that'll be tonight because he's got to go to China tomorrow for that game against Port Adelaide. On the back of Tom Hawkins last week, Ed Curnow from the Blues, they'll both miss a week. Remarkably, we don't ever have any of these situations for probably 5 years and all of a sudden they all happen in the space of a six-day period. I don't think there's too much in it. I think that Tom Hawkins, interesting. I think he might have, stuffed up a little bit. I think if we look at yesterday or the day before, Stephen May was trying to give an example as to why he doesn't believe he gave away the free kick, and Ed Curnow's hand sort of just brushed against the chest of the umpire. But there's no doubt it's a no-no, and unfortunately, even though there's not too much malice in these two, I think there's no doubt they'll miss a week. And the fact is, the AFL, under no circumstances, have always made it clear you cannot touch an umpire, make contact with an umpire, in particular in a way when you're negative. If you put your arm around an umpire and say, good call, which will never, ever happen, I think it might be okay. But the fact is that you touch an umpire in whatever which way, you're going to miss time. So Gold Coast Suns fans and Carlton fans, I think you're going to miss Stephen May and Ed Curnow this weekend, respectively. And I think it's the right way to go about it.
Ed Curnow, his was the one, is that right? He kind of gave a slight little push as opposed to Stephen May was, giving an example. I don't think that was as bad as the other.
Nah, I know, but at the moment, you're right. I don't think either of them met a great deal of malice, but I think that in the end, you're going to miss time. Yeah, look, there wasn't much in Ed Curnow's either. I don't think it was something that you go, oh, geez, this guy's in real trouble. But on the back of Tom Hawkins and the fact that Tom Hawkins threw himself at the mercy of the tribunal, which was the right way to go, I think you'll see that similar with these two as well.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of, it must be 20, 25 years ago when Diesel Williams, Greg Williams, had his incident, and that was massive at the time. Let's move on from that, Cam. Who is the main challenger to Richmond this year?
Well, I got a big issue with this, Shawnee, because the main challenger right now, and that's a huge surprise, West Coast, who are playing brilliant. in 2015, they had a lot of guys who had their best years ever, and they're having a lot of this year. They were great on Saturday. West Coast are the main challenger, but can't win the flag because they play everywhere well, but the MCG. And if they continue to play as well as they do now, they'll get two home finals, get to the MCG, probably play the Tigers, who are right now the best team in it, and get rolled by 10 goals. So the number one challenger is West Coast. They play this weekend against each other in Perth, and it wouldn't at all surprise me if the Eagles beat the Tigers being over there. So the main challenger is West Coast to win it. The second main challenger is probably Geelong, who aren't as good at the MCG as Richmond, and I'm a little concerned about their depth going forward. And then the third one's probably Sydney, who play the MCG the best. The weird thing is, they don't play that well at home. So if they get home finals, they may not get to the MCG to show their best form.
Is this what's frustrating you?
It is. It's worrying me for the 2018 grand final because West Coast can't win the flag because they're disgusting at Melbourne. It is a myth that they can't travel. They play everywhere else well. Etihad, spotless as we said in the weekend. They play Adelaide Oval pretty well as well. It's the MCG. It's a mental thing, which I can't see changing against the Tigers and their unbelievable supportership on grand final day. That's the concern. West Coast keep playing like this, they'll get two home finals, no one will beat them, and all of a sudden, they can't win at the MCG. Best case scenario, West Coast hold a prelim, Sydney play them, Sydney will beat them because they love the bigger ground, and then we'll see a good grand final between Sydney and Richmond. If it's Adelaide or West Coast, as it stands right now, it's going to be another boring grand final day, and it's a concern for mine, Shawnee.
You've put a lot of thought into that, and that is why we call you the sports guru.
Yeah, maybe. I need a girlfriend or something, Shawnee, to be honest. I've got way too much time on my hands at the moment.
You need to get that cardigan out, mate, and then you'll get those inbox messages happening.
It's coming on Friday night. Don't worry about that.
The cardigan's out this Friday night. Righty-o, Cam. I don't know whether you heard. I know. I think it came out yesterday. Darren Lehman apparently is going to do a tour, a tell-all tour right around the country. Of course, Sandpaper Gate that happened over there during the third test against South Africa in Cape Town. He stood down, or did he get sacked? We don't really know, but surely this is too soon, and surely he should not be allowed to profit from this.
Well, I guess it's an interesting one. I don't know too much about it. The thing that I will say straight up is that it won't be a tell-all.
Why not?
Nothing's a tell-all nowadays. This is the thing that gets me with tell-all. Now, if Darren Lehman's going to be 100% honest, he's going to be throwing someone under a bus because someone sat there and devised his plan, and we continue to believe it to be David Warner, and there's nothing really against us to suggest that is. But if it's going to be a tell-all, he needs to tell us 100% who knew. Now, I'm very sceptical there was only three players who knew. I don't know. I don't have anything to back that up, but I also think that in a situation such as this, you also need to tell the exact situation as to... A lot of people know what happened. Is he going to tell that exact story? Because it actually might clear someone and then continue to throw Cricket Australia under a bigger bus. Cricket Australia will have no, I guess, say over Darren Lehman. I have no issue with him being honest about it. I would love him to have been honest at the time. And I think had they have probably understood the situation a little bit more, they wouldn't have been as honest. And I think that it wouldn't have worked out to the way that it is. Look, in sport, you know, a lot of people profit. If you look at someone like Lance Armstrong, who's profiting on the back of continuing to lie and cover up, and then when he tells the truth, he makes more money out of that. So people do make money, unfortunately, and a lot of people see it as being wrong, but do make money out of the fact that by being honest, you know, in the end, they can make money out of it. So I'm not totally against that, but it is pretty soon. I wouldn't have suggested Darren Lehman do that before the three players are allowed to back play for their country again, which is still... you know, 9 or 12 months away. So interesting, but I suppose you've got to make a buck, and Darren Lehman thinks is the best way about it. But I am surprised because he does seem like from everyone who tells me, got great character and not the type of guy just to make an easy buck. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Rightio, Cam, you haven't got too much husk in your voice. Does that mean you've had a full night's sleep and you have slept through the NBA action overnight?
Nah,
or what did you do?
I got home from work just after 1, and I did the what do I do here? So I set the alarm for 5:29, and then I fell asleep at halftime because Boston were brilliant. I didn't expect that, you know, with the momentum that Cleveland have got.
What happened, James?
Well, the first quarter was just all got Boston. They were unreal. Jaylen Brown has gone to a new level. We underestimate Boston a little bit. We focus about who's not there in Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. We've got to start focusing on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are just absolute superstars. Quicker. And I think a lot of people thought they're high draft picks, both number threes in the last couple of drafts. They were brilliant today. So, I won't say massive egg on my face. I think Cleveland will still win the series, but it was a bit of a surprise.
It's good to see. Rightio, Cam. Thanks for your time.
And I just had a nice green tea, actually, to help the husk. Sorry, don't sound that bad on air, Sean, as I don't get you through the morning.
Well, women like the husk, mate. It's okay. It's all right. Hey, been talking to the sports guru, as I call him up here in the Goulburn Valley. He's Cam Luke, of course, from the Armchair Experts. He's well-known in radio down there in Melbourne. Cam, thanks for your time on your Monday morning, mate. We'll chat next week.
Cheers, Shawnee.
Triple M.
95.3 Triple M. Ricky with Shawnee for the Shepparton RSL. We're getting close to 9 o'clock. Josie is up next. She is ready to go with the theme train. But before that, I just wanted to quickly get Paul from Shep on. He's a truck driver. We're talking about using mobile phones while driving, and he basically is a truckie. He said he's seen it all. Of course, he's got the perfect view right into people's cars going next to him, same direction, people coming towards him as well. But Paul, some feature on the iPhone that you were telling me about before.
On the Apple iPhone, which is what I use and my partner uses, there's actually a thing in the settings that if it's connected to Bluetooth in your car and you get a phone call, if you get a text message, it actually sends that person a message saying that you can't read their message right now because you're driving, but you'll look at it when you stop.
Hold on a sec. I didn't know you could do that. So if I'm driving, car's got that feature, or you're saying it's a feature in the iPhone, I'm driving along.
It's a feature on your iPhone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where, I can't remember where it is in the settings. My partner showed me it. Because she was Googling it somehow and she found it. And, so in our private car, because we're actually hooked up to Bluetooth with that phone, as soon as it connects to the car, you can't receive text messages or send them.
That's brilliant. I want to know where that feature is. I'm going to look into that. I'll look into that today for sure. Paul from Shep, truck driver, he's seen it all. We were chatting off air there and he said it's quite confronting, some of the stuff that he has seen while driving the trucks. In terms of that feature there, I've never heard of it. I'll look into it. I'll tell you more about it, well, later on today on the Facebook page, if not tomorrow morning on air from 6. I'm out the door. Josie is up next with the theme train. Have a great day.